إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are at the point in Musa alayhi salam's story where we looked at the incident of the conflict between one of the people of Bani Israel and one of the Egyptians, and Musa alayhi salam took the side of the man from Bani Israel. And he, in the altercation that followed, he hit the Egyptian man and the man died. Musa alayhi salam made tawbah. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. The next day when he went there, it was the same man from Bani Israel fighting with somebody else. So Musa alayhi salam then realized that this man is the cause of the fitna. And in the dialogue between him and the man accused Musa alayhi salam of murdering an Egyptian the previous day. Now that put Musa alayhi salam in a very critical position, because he became a criminal in the eyes of the law. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a man came running from far and warned Musa alayhi salam that orders have been sent out for his arrest. So Musa alayhi salam left Egypt and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and he reached Madian. And then we have the whole incident of him sitting by that well where the people were watering their flocks, and these two ladies who were weak and obviously they were not getting a place to use the water of the well. Now once again you see Musa alayhi salam's nature of standing up for the oppressed, of standing up for truth, of helping people, of taking initiative, which is what he did. He stood up and he helped those ladies to water their flock of sheep. And then Musa alayhi salam sat under the shade of the of a tree and the wall, and he made dua and said, "O Allah, I am in need of whatever khair that you can give me." And then we have the story of one of the young ladies coming back and saying that our father wants to meet you. Musa alayhi salam goes and meets her father, and her father says that, and this lady says that, here is a man who is strong and he is dependable and trustworthy. And his father, her father says, "I will marry you to my daughter, and the mahar of that is 8 years you serve me. And if you complete that by adding another 2 years, make it 10 years, then this will be your ihsan on me." Rasulullah said, because the Quran does not say whether he did 8 or 10. Rasulullah said, Jibreel alayhi salam informed him that Musa alayhi salam completed 10 years. Now, all of this, the lessons from this first and foremost is the importance of standing up for the truth, even if you are alone. In all these cases, Musa alayhi salam didn't think, who is with me, who is not with me. Something has to be done. He stood up for the truth. He didn't simply pay lip service. He actually took action. He put himself on the line. So the issue of standing up for the truth, the issue of standing, of being committed to something. Then the issue also of fulfilling that commitment and doing more than what you have committed, in terms of what he committed to his father-in-law, he actually gave more than what he had committed. Committed for 8 years, he did 10 years of work. So these are the awsaf and the qualities of Musa alayhi salam that we learn. Added to this, of course, the willingness to take the pain. Musa alayhi salam actually went all the way to, you know, Allah knows what the distance was, through the desert. And then he worked for 10 years. And those 10 years were also the years of tarbiyah of Musa alayhi salam. Because Musa alayhi salam there in those 10 years was grazing sheep. That was the main job. Main job was grazing sheep. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the Anbiya, the training of the Anbiya has always been this, of grazing sheep. And if you look at why, what is it about sheep? No, why sheep? Why not cattle or camels or horses? Because it is the nature of the sheep. Camels, for example, need a very harsh and hard hand, because camels are arrogant animals. They are big animals and they are very arrogant animals. So the grazer of camels has to be a hard person, has to be a very harsh person. You have to hit a camel very hard for the camel to even feel that. But not sheep. Sheep are weak. Sheep are, if you hit a sheep hard, it will die. Sheep are weak. Number two, they can't take care of themselves. Camels can take care of themselves very well. Not sheep. Sheep also tend to stray here and there. They get lost. They can't find their way back to the flock. You know, all kinds of weaknesses sheep have. So the shepherd has to be somebody who is willing to stand up for his sheep. He has to be somebody who is willing to face danger on behalf of his sheep. He has to be somebody who can actually fend for his sheep and feed his sheep and so on. So that's why Musa alayhi salam, when he was asked, and that story will come later, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him about his asa, one of the things he said is that I break down the leaves and branches of trees for my sheep. You don't need to do that for camels. You don't need to do that for horses. They take care of themselves. Not sheep. Sheep will eat and they will just sit there and die if you don't feed them. So that's another thing. Then sheep have a very grassroots view of life. You know, their head is down near the ground, so they can't see far. Whereas a camel is already tall, he looks far, horse is tall. Sheep are not. So therefore, the shepherd actually has a much better perspective, a longer line of sight than the sheep. So the sheep are quite capable of going off into some place which is full of danger, unless the shepherd stops them. Whereas camels and horses don't do that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said all of these qualities of sheep are really training ground for Anbiya, for the prophets. Because this is also the nature of people. People are short-sighted. They don't see far. They don't recognize danger. They get lost and they can't find their way back. They wander here and there. So they need somebody to take care of them. And this whole shepherd and flock and so forth, this analogy, you will find this even in the Bible, for example. If you're talking about Isa alayhi salam, the same analogy of the shepherd and the flock and so forth. For the same reason, because this is training ground for the Anbiya, the grazing of sheep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam a grazer, a shepherd of sheep for 10 years. Right? So this is what he did for 10 years, graze sheep. And in that process he learnt. Then the other thing about grazing sheep, especially in those kinds of places in the desert, is that to find pasture for them, you have to go away from habitation. So of necessity, you have to leave habitation, you have to go off into far-flung areas. And obviously you can't come home every night, which means that you spend the night and the day in the desert, in silence, in isolation. There is no one there, you and your sheep. And that is also a very good environment for reflection and introspection, which also is one of the most important things in terms of one's own spiritual development. And it's one of those things which we have almost lost completely, because not only do we live in an environment that is full of noise, I mean physical noise as well as emotional noise, but we add to that with our gadgets, you know, with our phones and whatnot. So even when there is an opportunity for some chance of reflection and silence, we destroy that opportunity by using a gadget or the other. Including, for example, many people say that, you know, when I'm driving for a long distance I listen to these lectures, or I listen to this, I listen to that. I tell them sometimes, don't listen to anything, just shut off everything. Because that is silence, and silence is very critical. Think, reflect, introspect. Don't listen to any lecture. There's no need. You can listen to a lecture later on. But just think, sit and ask yourself this question, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked in the Quran, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Allah said, where are you going? So ask yourself this question and say, where am I going? This life of mine, this way of life that I have chosen for myself, whatever I do from, you know, wake up time to sleep time on a daily basis, where is this taking me? It may be taking you to a very good place, so alhamdulillah, strengthen that. But if not, that is a chance to think and reflect and introspect and make some changes. When else will you do it? Because otherwise, there is no silence in our lives, there is no khilwat in our lives. This used to be one of the very important things that, of course, all the Anbiya did it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go and spend weeks by himself sitting in a cave, not just days, sometimes 2-3 weeks at a time. Why did he do that? He did that because of the value of this. Just by yourself, no other person, no other sound. This is the value of khilwat, of being alone. And that is what happens to shepherds in, especially in desert areas or semi-arid areas, where they have to be by themselves. I have seen many times in, nowadays to see this also, you have to drive like, you know, 50 miles out of Hyderabad to see it. But there was a time when literally 5 minutes out you could see these shepherds in the areas now, Kukatpally and all that is all now completely cheek by jowl buildings. But in those days they were all open land, open semi-arid land. And you could see one of these dhangars standing there with a staff, and he is covered with a big blanket. And sometimes he's just standing there on holding the staff, you know, resting on it, and the sheep are grazing there. There's no one there. There's only that man. But one man and there is a sheep. So it was a very common sight to see this kind of thing. I'm not saying he, the man doing that is, you know, reflecting and so on. Allah knows what he's doing. But I'm saying this is an opportunity. And I think it's a very important thing for us to create these opportunities in our lives. Take time out. And the key thing is alone. It's not a question of saying, you know, we are all going to our farmhouse and we have a party there. You are just destroying yourself. The same environment from your city, you transfer it to your farmhouse. Makes no difference. Go and sit by yourself. No one but you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Leave your phone, leave everything, no wife, no children, no brother, no nobody. Just go and sit by yourself. Don't listen to any lecture, don't listen to any tilawat Quran, nothing. Just sit by yourself and think and reflect and make zikr and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why this whole issue of tahajjud, which I keep on saying, repeating over and over again, that's a daily opportunity of khilwat, of being alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. Even if you pray just 2 rakat, that 2 rakat is so important because there's no one else. Just you, and there's no noise, there's nothing happening. By yourself, quietly pray tahajjud, make dua. And also, apart from this tahajjud on a daily basis, inshallah, take out opportunities for this. But there is huge benefit. There is very, very major benefit in doing that. But at the end of the day, all a person's strength, everything comes from a person's spiritual strength. If spiritual strength is not there, rest of it doesn't matter. Rest of it doesn't matter. Take suicide rates, for example. Why is it that suicide rates are so high in the West? Now we are also catching up. But you will find that suicide rates are not high at all. For example, even in a place like Palestine, although people are living under such tremendously stressful conditions. Because people are the people of Muslims who are practicing Islam are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying that every person in Palestine is a wali of Allah. Allah knows who is what. But at the same time, they are definitely people who listen to the adhan, who go and pray in the masjid, who are people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives them spiritual strength. So they are able to bear stress and they are able to bear adversity much better than people who may be materially well off but there's no spiritual strength. So anything happens, the stock exchange dips 2 points and you know, you take a jump. Because, and even at that time when you hit the concrete, you are still worth 10 million, but that doesn't matter. The notional loss on the stock exchange finish your life. So very important for us to focus on our own spiritual development, and a very important part of the spiritual development is to be alone with yourself and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to reflect and introspect. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to bring about concrete changes in our lives which will benefit us inshallah, and to take these steps to make these changes. That's very important. I mean, sitting and listening is fine, but unless the change is made, benefit will not happen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this benefit. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.